Let's go to the book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 11. I was so looking forward to the message tonight. We were going to be in Luke 17 once again, and we were going to be looking at the subject of uncommon grace. Uncommon grace. But as we sat in Sunday school today, considered the Word of God and the lesson that was brought, the Lord directed us in other ways. So, Lord willing, we'll be able to get into that message from Luke 17 next Sunday evening, as the Lord allows. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I want to read verse 23 through 26. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." These verses deal with the Lord's Supper. Paul is laying before us what Jesus Christ had laid before him concerning the observance of the Lord's table. He received these things from the Lord, and he then delivered it to the people of Corinth. He then delivered it to us as one of the Lord's churches. And as we observe the Lord's Supper tonight, I want to have these thoughts to be upon our hearts and upon our minds. We have the items that are involved or included in the Lord's Supper on the table with us tonight. And as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, we can't observe the Lord's Supper. There's no bread up here. There's no fruit of the vine. We can't observe the Lord's Supper. Because preparation has not been made to observe the Lord's Supper. To observe the Lord's Supper, preparation must be made. We must come and we must be prepared to observe the Lord's Supper. Lord, impress that upon my heart this morning as I had made note that we wanted to observe the Lord's Supper and that would be coming up soon. Lord just spoke to me that coming to the Lord's table is very much in application what Brother Luke was teaching us in Sunday school. Talked about Hezekiah and the steps that Hezekiah followed, the steps that the people of God followed in preparation to the Lord reviving them as a people, reviving them as a nation. And everything that he was teaching us in the Sunday school lesson today, I feel is illustrated in our coming to the Lord's table. When we come to the Lord's table, first of all, we must come prepared. We must come prepared, or we won't observe the Lord's Supper. I didn't write down all the steps that he covered, but I remember him speaking of a cleansing that we must do personally, ourselves. Talked about a cleansing of the house of the Lord after the accumulation of dust and dirt, sediment. The house of the Lord needed to be cleansed. And as we consider all that was taught, most immediately with physical application, we must apply these things spiritually. And as a church, when we come to the Lord's table, we must be prepared, or it can be a very vain thing. Sometime last year, I told you we were going to be preparing to observe the Lord's Supper. And the Lord just worked, and the Lord kept working, and the Lord kept saying, no, things aren't right. We came into the new year, and again, I can remember, I don't exactly remember the month, but I can remember telling you we would be preparing to observe the Lord's Supper. And it never happened. The Lord kept delaying. The Lord kept telling me, no, things aren't right. The steps of preparation for the Lord's Supper haven't been being fulfilled. And here we find ourselves soon to be in October of 2024, and I have been brought to the place by Almighty God that we must observe the Lord's Supper. And by the grace of God and Him not preventing it by other means, we are going to observe the Lord's Supper, and it's going to be very soon. Are you going to prepare to observe the Lord's Supper properly? Because again, unless the Lord keeps us from it, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. And if you come and you observe the Lord's Supper and you're not properly prepared, there's some serious consequences. God has been hammering us, is the expression I've used frequently. God has been hammering us with the subject of sin and the need to get sin out of the church and the need to confess our sins. God has been bringing that before us from Genesis as we consider the sins of Lot and the effects of that, and Luke, some of the things we've looked at on Sunday evenings. And as God has hammered us with this thought, He has been reinforcing it and swinging a different hammer in Sunday school, looking at the same need related to us through the kings. And it has been related to us that we're talking about the survival. Get that through. Get that into your head. We're talking about the survival of Faith Baptist Church. Not the survival of Faith Baptist Church numerically, not the survival of Faith Baptist Church as far as having Sunday services and singing Amazing Grace every once in a while, but survival as far as having the presence of the Lord, survival as far as having the Spirit of God present and working amongst us, survival as far as His not removing the candlestick. Church at Laodicea was rich and increased with goods. They were blind to their own spiritual condition. And the Lord threatened them, literally threatened them, as He did other of those seven churches, with the withdrawal of the presence of the Spirit of God. See, a church can have the presence and the Spirit of the Lord removed and can go happily down the road, going through the motions, and many not even realize. Not even realize. In verse 7 of this text, to verse 17, excuse me, to verse number 19, we see the need to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Verse 17, now in this I declare unto you, I praise you not. I praise you not that you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Writing to a New Testament church, he says, I don't praise you in my declaring of these things to you. And as I declare these things unto you, I don't want you to think that I'm saying you're coming together for the good, because you're not. You're coming together for the worse. A New Testament church was coming together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. I don't praise you. You're not coming together for the better. You're coming together for the worse. When you come together, I hear that there are divisions among you. When you come together, I hear that there are heresies among you, and I believe these things. They were observing the Lord's Supper, but they weren't preparing to observe the Lord's Supper. Paul is rebuking them for their observance of the Lord's Supper. They're not coming together for the better, but they're coming together for the worse. They were observing the Lord's Supper without preparing. The divisions, the heresies, the excesses. None of those things were being dealt with. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, says, if we confess our sins, if, big word, if we confess our sins, not the other guy's sins, our sins, not another church's sins, our sins, if we confess our sins, He, God, the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us. But obviously, He's not going to forgive us and He's not going to cleanse us if there is no confession, if there is no preparation. Maybe the most famous verse in the Bible as far as revival and God's stirring amongst His people is found in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. This is immediately in the context of what we've been looking at in application to this thought on Sunday morning and Sunday school. These are the words of God to Israel in the days as early as when Solomon was building the temple. Verse 14 of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, God speaking to Israel, Solomon their king, temple being built. If, there's that big word, if, my people, His people are the ones that need to confess. His people are the ones who need to acknowledge their sin. His people are the ones that need to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Oh, we talk about what the other guy needs to do, what the other church needs to do, what the wickedness that can be found in other nations and people of the world. But it's not the other guy, it's not the other church, it's not the other nation, but it's this nation, it's this church, it's this people that God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. Then, And not until then, see, the pastor has the unpopular job of preaching the Word of God and calling God's people to repentance. He has the task of preaching the message of rebuke as God directs him. And he has the unpopular task of God having him preach it again and preach it again and keep preaching until somebody gets the message. Till somebody gets it. You know the old joke about the preacher who went to church and preached a message one Sunday morning. Next Sunday, he preached the same message. Another week came and went. Next Sunday, he preached the same message. This went on for several weeks. Finally, the deacons of the church call on the pastor. I said, we don't know if you realize it or not, but you preached the same message for X number of weeks. He goes, I know I have. And I'm going to keep on preaching it until you get it. That's the way God works sometimes. God keeps sending us the same message and sends it and sends it and sends it. And he's going to keep sending it until we get it. Or we're going to suffer the consequence that Israel suffered. God removing them from being a nation, dispersing them, and that at a later date, Judah experienced the same fate. God is not mocked. He tells us and he tells us and he tells us, but let us not think there isn't a time when he's going to stop telling us and he's going to hold us accountable. Jesus told the Apostle Peter in the context of his washing their feet, when he got to Peter, Peter said, okay, Lord, if you're going to do this, let's do it right. Give me a whole bath. Wash me all over. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you don't need to be washed all over. You don't need to be bathed. You don't need to be rebathed or washed all over. Meaning, once you're saved, you're always saved, Peter. What he was teaching by the washing of the disciples' feet was that as you travel through this world and as you walk from place to place and you go out into the world and you come back in the house of the Lord, your feet get dirty. And our feet need cleaned every once in a while. Wearing sandals in the dirty, dusty streets of Jerusalem and the Holy Land, it was a custom, not just amongst God's people, but everywhere you went into a person's house, they would provide for you to wash their feet. Get the dust and the pollution washed off. And the Lord was trying to teach the disciples that once saved, once cleansed, they don't need to be saved again or cleansed again, but they need to be washed when that dust accumulates on their feet. And confession and repentance and taking those things before the Lord is almost a missing truth and doctrine. We don't talk about our sins. We don't confess our sins. We don't repent of our sins. It's as though we have none. But in order to observe the Lord's Supper, one must be prepared. If you do not prepare for the observance of the Lord's Supper, you make void the observance of the Lord's Supper. Understand now what I'm saying. In order to come to the Lord's table and observe the Lord's Supper, you must confess, you must repent, you must prepare. You must ask the Lord to forgive your sins, nobody else's, but your sins and my sins. And if we don't make preparation for the observance of the Lord's Supper, then we make void the observance of it. Meaning, as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, if you don't prepare and I don't prepare, we just come in here and go through the motions, we make void that exercise. See, as Baptists, we don't have much ceremony. We don't have a lot of fancy-spancy things that we do. But we do have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And the table is prepared, and the fruit of the vine is up here and ready, and the unleavened bread is up here, and it's all draped in white linen, and that white linen is taken off and the elements are uncovered and the bread is broken and dispensed to the members of the church, and that fruit of the vine is blessed and then spilt forth to the individual cups. And that's about all we have as far as ceremony. But it's void. It's void if we observe it without preparing for its observance. Verse 20, when you come together therefore into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. When you come into one place to observe the Lord's Supper, you can't observe the Lord's Supper. He's talking to the Corinthians. When they came together to observe it, or they thought they came together to observe it, he says you can't observe it because you're not prepared. You haven't prepared. If you haven't prepared, then you make void the observance of the supper. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not, or you cannot observe the Lord's Supper or eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. There's a lot of things going on here. They weren't preparing for the Lord's Supper. They weren't confessing. They weren't repenting. They weren't laying it out there. They weren't willing to get right. They wanted to go down the road of self-righteousness and justify their acts and say that they didn't see anything wrong with the way they're living their lives, and they didn't want to confess anything. Consequently, because they weren't confessing and getting right and making preparation, when they came together to eat the Lord's Supper, they couldn't eat the Lord's Supper. And it seems as though they were rushing to get ahead, to take somebody else's place, to get there first. They were taking of the Lord's Supper for the satisfaction of their physical hunger, which is the last thing the Lord's Supper is about. It's not about satisfying our physical hunger, our physical thirst. It's about reminding us what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary. Have you not houses to eat and to drink in? Despise you the church of God? Shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Bump over to verse 33 and read continually. Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. When you come together, brethren, tarry. Tarry one for another. God has a desire that everything that goes on in a church is to be done decently and in order. Decently and in order. These things were not going on in the Corinthian church, and they're not going on in a lot of Baptist churches today. Are they going on amongst us? When you come together, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, then let him get his satisfaction and his hunger satisfied at home. Because if you don't, when you come together, you come under condemnation. And even after this, what I'd say, harsh rebuke of what was going on in the Corinthian church, he still says there's some other things that I'm going to set in order when I come. There were other things that they needed to deal with. So when you come to the Lord's Supper, you must come prepared. If you don't come prepared, you make void the observance of the Lord's Supper. If you make void the observance of the Lord's Supper, you must face the consequences. You must face the consequences. You must be prepared, verse 17, 18, and 19. If you're not prepared, you make void the observance, verse 20 through 22, then 33 and 34. And if we're making void the observance of the Lord's Supper, we must live with the consequences. See, there's consequences for doing this the wrong way. There's consequences. Verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Whosoever, or anybody that eats of the bread of the Lord's Supper or the cup of the Lord's Supper, who does it in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And I still, to this day, after 46 years in the ministry, I still can't wrap my head around all that that involves. I'm saved because Jesus Christ gave his body on the cross for my sins. I'm saved because he shed his blood to wash, to cover, to atone for my sins. And I'm being told here that I can conduct myself and you can conduct yourself in such a way as to be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. No matter what that means, it's not good. He's our Savior. He gave his body. He shed his blood. And we can take of the bread and the wine, representing those parts and do it in an unworthy fashion and be deemed guilty of the body and blood of our Lord. You can think on that all week long. Never get to the depth of it. So, if we don't prepare for the observance of the Lord's Supper, we make void the observance of the Lord's Supper. If we make void the observance of the Lord's Supper, we must suffer the consequences. We must face the consequences of that action. Whosoever drinks of this cup of the Lord, eats this bread that represents his body unworthy in an unworthy fashion, shall be guilty of the body and blood of Christ. So, verse 28, let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Because the consequences are so serious, he encourages us to examine ourselves. What's all this examining about? All this examining is about preparing ourselves for the observance of the Lord's Supper. The examination is not supposed to take place as the elements are passed among us. The examination is supposed to take place in preparation for the communion, in preparation for the Lord's Supper. As that is announced in the next week or so, in the next couple weeks or so, we're going to observe the Lord's Supper. It's during that time that the examination is supposed to be taking place. And we examine ourselves to confess, to repent, to get cleansing, so that we don't make void our observance of the supper and face the consequences of such behavior. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Another sobering statement. Those that eat and drink of the elements of the Lord's Supper in an unworthy fashion are guilty of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us therefore examine ourselves. We don't want to go down that road. Because he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation. Now, I have a pretty good understanding of what the word damnation means there. It doesn't mean we lose our salvation. It doesn't mean that we're damned. It doesn't mean that we end up going to hell. The word damnation in verse number 29 speaks of judgment. When a child of God does not prepare for the observance of the Lord's Supper, they make void the observance of the Lord's Supper. And they must face the consequences. And one of the consequences of taking the Lord's Supper lightly is we eat and drink judgment. We eat or drink judgment. I think of Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching, something to that effect. Verse 26, Hebrews 10, if we sin willfully, if you and I who are saved, if we sin willfully, there remains no more covering. Saved folks who sin willfully, are told that there's a fiery looking for of judgment. Saved folks. Some people have a real problem in their theology. They just don't believe these things are so. But they're in the book, aren't they? We need confession. We need repentance. We need to hear God knocking on our heart's door. Not saying all is well. We need to hear God knocking on our heart's door saying we need to repent. We need to lay it out there and confess our sins. We need to bring it and lay it out there and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us in preparation for the Lord's Supper. And if we don't do that, we make void our observance of it. And one of those consequences are the fiery looking for of judgment. We don't need a new version of the Bible that softens and soaks that all down. We need to believe what our version says. He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, in an unworthy fashion, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding, not appreciating, not comprehending the Lord's body. Because of this, we're talking about the consequences of not preparing, the consequences of voiding our observance of the Lord's Supper. For this cause, many are weak, many are sick, many are asleep. Many are weak and sickly among you. He's talking about church members. To the church at Corinth, he says, among you in the church at Corinth, many are weak and sickly. Many are asleep. And the word sleep there, I've told you before recently, speaks of death. You're dead. Well, not eternally dead, not forever dead. But dead and useless. From the Lord. Verse 30. Now, if we would judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. See, if we'll prepare, if we'll examine ourselves, if we'll confess and repent, if we'll do what 2 Chronicles tells us to, we who are called by his name, if we'll humble ourselves and pray and seek his face and turn from our sinful ways, he will hear and heal. If we'll judge ourselves, then we'll not be judged. Judgment that is spoken of in verse 29, I think. If we would judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. But when we are judged, what's it say? But when we are judged, we are chastened. We're scourged. We're taken to the woodshed. When we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. I mean, folks, it just says this in the Word. Didn't make this stuff up. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. But when he has to judge us, he's going to chasten us, and we'll be chastened of the Lord. But thank God, we'll be judged so we can be chastened of the Lord, that will not be condemned with the world. No, it's not about losing our salvation. We're never going to face the condemnation that the world and those who don't know Jesus Christ are going to face. But we are going to face chastening. We are going to face the judgment of God. We may find ourselves weak, sickly, dead spiritually, needing to be revived, needing to be made alive again. So when it comes to observing the Lord's Supper, and I'm putting the church on notice, we are going to observe the Lord's Supper. It's been too long. You need to prepare. You need to take serious the condition of your own soul, the condition of your own life. Hezekiah was told to set his house in order. Tomorrow you're going to die. Or soon you're going to die. God says to us and has said to us of late, we need to set our houses in order. And we need to be prepared. For when we die and we leave this earth, whether you heed it or not, whether you do anything about it or not, the Lord's Supper is going to be observed. And it's never proper and it's never right to come into the observance of the Lord's Supper and say, I'm too sinful, I'm not going to observe it, and act all pious. The whole principle behind what Paul is saying here is, prepare for the Lord's Supper. Examine yourself. Confess. Repent. Get right. Come into the house of the Lord when the Lord's Supper is being observed. Ready to observe it. Don't make excuses. It's one of the greatest privileges God gives us once He has saved us and placed us in a New Testament Baptist church. To do this, which we're going to do someday soon, to do this in remembrance of Jesus. Oh, the blood that was shed for your salvation and the sacrifice of His body that He gave for our sins ought to cause us to see the Lord's Supper as a great privilege. Nothing we should willingly excuse ourselves from. But let us prepare to observe the Lord's Supper, lest we make a void of the observance and we experience the consequences . The Lord's Supper is a command that we're told to do until Jesus comes. He hadn't come yet, so we need to still be doing it. Let's stand together, have a verse of